Tom for praying about those things. Good morning, everyone. How are we doing today? Let's go ahead and grab our Bibles and let's open to 2 Corinthians. That's the text that we'll be looking at today. Opening up to 2 Corinthians. That's the book that we're going to be in. We're going to do part two of a message entitled A Picture of Integrity. Grab your outline, that kind of thing. I don't recall if Brian mentioned it or though, but you know, we have this kid zone in the bulletin now, and actually it's a little kind of a bulletin for kids. It's part of the bulletin now, and it has a few questions in there that apply to our message today for the kids to answer, so they can be paying attention in that manner and looking at those simple questions that are there and how they apply to them. But we're looking at the picture of integrity, part two of it. So the topic's integrity. The passage that we're in is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 15, all the way through chapter 2, verse 4. We started that last week, and we're going to finish it this week. So let me just cover with you what we talked about last week as you find your place and as we jump into this and get into what we're talking about. What we learned last week, these verses are Paul's response to being attacked by false teachers that are in Corinth concerning a change of his plans to visit the church at Corinth. We talked about that. He had planned to come visit. He was going to visit them. He's going to, out of chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, which he wrote that letter about a year earlier, they received it a little over a year earlier than that. Paul had planned to visit them. On the way through Macedonia, as he was going to go through Macedonia, said, I'm going to come visit you. I'm going to be there and fellowship with you, and we're going to serve each other, and we're going to help each other in what we're doing. And then the way back through Macedonia, my plan is to come and even spend the winter with you, and fellowship with you and be there. That's the plan. And he said, if the Lord allows, if the Lord permits, that's what we're going to be doing. But shortly after 1 Corinthians, this letter was delivered to this church. Right after it arrived, their false apostles came to the church and they started to attack the apostleship of Paul. They started saying, oh, he's immoral and he's manipulating the church with what he's saying to serve him and not really Christ, and he's teaching falsely. These false apostles came in and attacked the church in that way. So Paul hears of it. He hears of that. He's in Ephesus, and so he hurries from Ephesus, goes to this church, beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, goes there, and it's called a sorrowful visit. It's in the scriptures. He calls it a sorrowful visit. For when he confronts the false teachers and he goes to them and says that's not the truth, and he confronts the church don't support Paul. They don't stand behind him. They kind of question, well, maybe they're right and that kind of thing. Even one brother stands up in the church and joins in the false apostles in the attack of Paul. Yeah, you're manipulating us with your words. I mean, it's serious, and it's called a sorrowful visit because Paul is broken. He's given his life to this body of Christ. Year and a half, a part of his ministry, been back and forth and all there. Now they're not standing behind him. He's broken in his heart. That's why it's called a sorrowful visit. He has a lot of sorrow. So then he returns back to Ephesus, and he writes him a letter, which we don't have the letter. It's called severe letter. It's very severe. But he writes the church that he loves and the people in the body of Christ. He confronts their sin as a church body. You're not holding to God's truth, to God's word. And he confronts the brother that attacked him. And that's what Paul did. In 2 Corinthians 2, 4, he wrote it this way. He said, I wrote this letter to you. I talked to you out of much affliction. That means out of pressures of conflict without and pressures of fear from within, as he will say letter. Pressures to the church family, to the body of Christ, to the believers holding to the truth of God's word and following God's church. He wrote to them out of much pressure, much affliction, and out of anguish of heart, broken. He wrote this severe letter from that. That's the perspective. And he wrote to them, confronting their sin from Ephesus. And then he leaves Ephesus and he goes to Troas. He heads to Troas, doesn't come by on his way through Macedonia. Paul's attackers are still in Corinth. And they say, well, look at him. He didn't even come by. He said he was going to come by a year ago. He wrote that he was going to come by. He didn't come by. Now he went through. He's going that way. He's a liar. You can't believe. He's not a man of his word. He's being attacked. Look, he didn't come by and visit. So in the passage that we have before us and in what we're looking at, Paul, instead of just defending why his travel plans changed, what he does, he elevates the discussion and he to motives and attitudes of his heart. And in that, he paints a picture of a Christian with godly integrity. We looked at that last week. It's brushstrokes of it, that you would be painting a picture of integrity. put that in your mind. That's what we want to capture, what we are looking at, what we want to put in our heart. The brushstrokes on a life that confirm godly integrity. We could call it that. A lot of titles that you could come up with it, but it's a picture of integrity is what he's doing. And he's just laying out his life there and what is going on. And from his motives, his heart attitudes, what God is doing in this life, and he paints this beautiful picture. And we looked last week, the first brushstroke that we saw last week, verse 15 and 16, it's down in your text, look at it with me. He said, in this confidence I intended to first come to you so that you might twice receive a blessing, that is to pass your way into Macedonia and again from Macedonia to come to you and by you to be helped on my journey to Judea. So you see what he says, hey, I intended to come. Paul has always been loyal to the body of Christ, loyal to the church. The first brushstroke integrity was loyalty. He's always been loyal to Christ, loyal to his word, loyal to the body of Christ, to the church. That's his testimony. That's his character. That's his character trait. It's a brushstroke. He's saying, I intended to come by because I'm loyal to you. I've displayed that in your life. Integrity is loyalty. It's loyalty committed to, devoted to what God calls you to be devoted to. That's what we're talking about. That's part of godly integrity, to be committed, to be loyal to what God has called you to be loyal to. We looked at it last week. We're to be loyal to Christ, amen? We're to be loyal to Christ's word, the word of God, and we're to be loyal to the body of Christ, to the church. We looked at that last week, and it's godly integrity. And then in verse 17 and 18, this is just review of last week, he said this. He talks about honesty as the second brushstroke. Look what he says. Therefore, I was not vacillating when I intended to do this, was I? Hey, this wasn't a fleshly thing, was it? I'm loyal to you and was going to come by, and I wasn't just making this, if I feel like it, I'll come by. If I don't feel like it, I won't come by. I'm not going to be dishonest in my words. I'm going to be honest. I intended to come by. What's the word for vacillating? I'm trying to think of what that's called. I can't remember it now, what it was in the original language. It's why did that leave my brain? That's okay. Kind of wishy-washy, that's good. You know, what he's saying is honesty is important here. I was honest with my words. Look at the text, 17 and 18. Therefore, I was not vacillating when I tended to do this. Do I purpose according to the flesh so that with me there is a yes and yes and no and at the same time? But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no, it's a commitment to you. We're honest with our words. Listen to what he's saying. My word of commitment to you is not maybe or if I feel like it, I will, I won't. I speak honestly. There's no double talk from Paul. It's a part of integrity and honesty with our words. It's not, I'm not talking out of the side of my mouth to get something else is what he's talking about. So it could be yes, might be no. He says it this way, as God is faithful, as God is trustworthy, I want to be faithful and honest with my commitments to you, to the body of Christ, to the church family, as I have been to God and like God is. So honesty is integrity. So the two things were loyalty and honesty. The third brushstroke was reliability. Look at it with me. In verse 19 and 20, he says this, For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, was preached among you by us, by me, and by Silvanus, and Timothy was not yes and no. It wasn't yes and no. It was yes in Christ. Everything is true. But is yes in him, because as many as are the promises of God in him, they are yes. Therefore also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Listen, this is what he's saying. This is as much as God's gospel is reliable. Is it reliable, church? He says, as much as God's gospel, God's promises are reliable. Are God's promises reliable? As much as our lives are being about the glory of God. Can you say amen to that? That's what he says. I say amen to that because that's reliable. I want to be reliable and follow through with my commitments, remaining loyal to you all, remaining loyal to Christ, to his word, to his church, and be honest in my commitments with that, and reliable in me to follow through on those. It's integrity. He's painting a brushstroke picture with brushstrokes of his life, and so we see it in our life. This is what integrity looks like. Listen, he says, here's the picture. I am loyal to you, to Christ's church. I'm honest in my word of commitment to you, to Christ, and to his church, and I'm reliable to follow through on my commitment. Why the fourth brushstroke? We ended it with the last week, this one. Why the fourth one? Authenticity. I'm a believer in Christ. Look at me. This is why. This is why we're loyal to God's word and God's truth and to Christ and to the body of Christ. This is why we're honest with our words and why we're honest with our commitments. We don't say yes and no. We say yes and we follow through. We're honest in our commitments, our devotion to the Lord, to each other. This is why we're reliable. We follow through, that we keep what God has shown us to do, and we are reliable. We do what we say we're going to do. Why? Authenticity. We're Christians. That's what he says. And God has brought us together. And God has joined the body of Christ together. God's church is God's design, not our design. Man didn't bring it together. This isn't an organization where man said, hey, let's do some things and we'll get people to come and we'll all be together and we can help each other. This is God's thing. That's what he says. It's authenticity. Look at verse 21, 22. Listen to what he says. Now he who establishes us. Look at each other right now. Now he who establishes you as the church at Living Word Fellowship, as the body of Christ, as God's people. Listen to what he says. For he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is, does it say man there? It says God, isn't it? See, this is a work of God. This is a work of God, and we're to remain loyal to Christ, loyal to his word, loyal to each other. We're to be honest with our commitments. We're to be reliable because God is the one that has established us together. When you're not loyal, when you're not honest, when you're not reliable, it's because you're not honoring what God has established. And Paul is saying, God established this. I'm going to honor what God has established. This is what he's saying. This is integrity. Listen to what he says. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us as God, who has sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. Authentic Christianity is loyal to each other, is honest in our commitments, is reliable to follow through. And Paul says, I follow through with him. I'm a Christian. God has established this. Verse 21, it is God who has anointed us. Church, you and me anointed us. This is what it means. God has commissioned you and me together to the service of Christ. That's what he says. He's commissioned us, anointed. It's anointing of God. It's not a man's idea. It's not a wisdom of God idea. It's an anointing. It's a God coming on some people and doing a work in their life, anointing us in the service of Christ together. God did it. That's what he's talking about. God has sealed us, meaning God has made us together, his family and his own possession. He did that. And God has given us the Holy Spirit to indwell us as a guarantee that we are his children, his family. God has done all of this. Authentic Christianity, Paul is saying, authenticity represents the truthfulness of God in our loyalty, in our honesty of commitment, in our reliability among us to the Lord and to each other. That's integrity. Now, it fleshes out into many, many things in our life. We're to be honest with our words and our commitment at work and with friends and with our neighbors and with those kind of things. We're to be loyal to our boss and to the place we work, and we're to be loyal to in our marriages and with our children, and we're to be reliable. But you see where the foundation of what he's talking about here is. He's talking about us, the body of Christ church. It's like it begins here. He's painting the picture of integrity as a godly integrity as a Christian. Now, he doesn't stop there. That would have been a good place to stop, don't you think? Paul could have used right there and then just said, okay. But he has three more brushstrokes for us today. That's just a review of last week. I did that pretty quick. That's good. He's not done. There are three more brushstrokes that paint the picture of godly integrity. Number five in your outline, sensitivity. This is so important. And we're going to get into this more as we go on through the chapter 2, but sensitivity is really good here. Look what he says. 23, 24, and 2:1. Listen to Paul. He says this, but I call God as witness to my soul that to spare you I did not come to Corinth. Not that we lorded over your faith, but we are workers with you for your joy, for in your faith you are standing firm. But I determined this for my own sake, that I will not come to you in sorrow again. Did you hear what he said? You hear me being sensitive to what's going on? I didn't come visit because I was sensitive to where you were at with the Lord in the letter and what God was doing in your heart, and sensitive to my own heart to be Christ-like. That's what he said. I'm being sensitive. I'm being sensitive to the Lord God and what he's doing in your life. I wrote the severe letter. I've confronted your sin. I've said all of this, and I didn't come by to spare you. I didn't come by because I wanted to spare you, because I'm being sensitive that God is at work in what we were confronting there. God is at work in what I've shared with you there. And then in verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, and then for my own sake, I didn't come by you in sorrow again, because I was being sensitive that I needed to be in the right place in my own heart before I came by. See, to be integrity, you have to have sensitivity to the Lord's leading, to the Lord's word, and to the people that you're ministering with and where they're at and how God is at work, and then your own heart. And where are you? That's all over Scripture. I could go everywhere, right? We could go to Galatians 6. We could go everywhere in that one, right? And see, so to be a person of integrity, to paint the brushstroke, you have to be sensitive to the Lord's work, the leading of the Holy Spirit, God's word, and where somebody's at with the Lord and what God's doing in their life, and then where are you? See, here's an interesting fact here. What Paul wrote in chapter 2, verse 1 is, for my own sake, I didn't come to you in sorrow again. And it's part of the purity, and we'll get to it in a moment. But here's an interesting thing. He said, I didn't come because in my own heart, I didn't want to come to just fix my sorrow. I didn't want to come and come to you. That's why he says we don't lord it over your faith. You know what? We don't lord it over anybody's faith. It's your faith. It's your walk with the Lord. It's your testimony with Christ. It's what God is doing in your life and what he's working in there. And I could go like this forever, and God says that's not what we're to do. Husbands, wives, people that you love in your life. Come on, you got to quit. Come on, you got to not do that. Come on, you got to just change. Come on, you got to do this. This is breaking me. I'm broken. And Paul said, I can't come to you in that way because it isn't about me getting fixed of my unbrokenness. And we don't lord it over your faith. It's your faith. God's, you're walking with the Lord. It's about you and your relation with the Lord. And listen to what he said in verse 24. And I just want to work together for your joy. That's what he said. I don't want to work together to make you do something, make you respond in something. I want to work together for your joy. Let me read those passages again. Listen to what he said. But I call God as witness. Did you hear what he said there? That I didn't come by, and God is my witness. Got to say amen, Paul, because I was being sensitive that God didn't want me to go because God was at work and God was making me deal with my own heart before I went by. God is my witness. What an incredible thing to say. That's why I didn't come by. They should be confronted with their, like, oh, Paul didn't come by. He doesn't love us. He's not a man of his word. He's saying, God told me I shouldn't come by right now. And then he said this, not that we lord it over your faith, like I was talking about, but are workers with you for your joy. For in your faith you are standing firm. You're the Lord's. But I want to work together for your joy. Listen, Paul is broken over their sin, concerned that they might not turn from their sin and turn from the Lord. He has sorrow over all of them all. I'm sure most of you have people in your life that you feel this way. I'm sure most of you in your life, you can say the same thing as Paul has said about them. Wanting them to change, wanting them to grow, wanting them to repent. Paul said, I'm not going to come to relieve my sorrow. I'm going to be sensitive to where they're at, sensitive to God's leading, sensitive to God's work in their heart. Because I'm not in charge of their faith. I'm just working together for their joy. Sensitive to how God is using me in that. Do you know what it means to be workers together for your joy? This is what Paul is saying. We're not working together here so everything is happy. We're not working together so everything in your life becomes happiness. We're not working together so everything in your life turns out right in yours or mine. Listen, church, you and me are workers together for our joy. This is what it means, the joy of finding God's way, the joy of helping each other out, the joy of walking our way out of sin, the joy of restoration, the joy of restored relationships, the joy of finding God's forgiveness, the joy of seeing the Lord or serving the Lord together. That joy is what he's talking about. And here Paul is saying, I'm just going to work together. I'm just a workers together for your joy, for God to walk you out of the things that you're stumbling over, or for God to show you his truth so hope is in your heart, or obedience comes out of your life, or those kind of things. He's not talking about we're workers together for all of our happiness or what's going to happen that's going to make us happy, that kind of thing. He's workers together. We are workers together for your joy. And let me tell you, if you're in sin, your repentance, your turning from sin and walking and go with the Lord, I'll work forever with you for your joy in that. I won't stop working together for the joy in that, but I'm not going to lord it over. And I can't come to you unless my heart is right. And God will make me sensitive to that. You see what Paul's talking about? Because you want to be a person of integrity. You think about your relationships that you have just in your own marriage. How confronted I am in my life, and just, am I workers together for her joy or to help me in my sorrow? I wanted something my way. You see what he's talking about? As a person of integrity? This is what Paul is talking about in the church, and he's painting a beautiful picture of what it looks like. Sixth brush stroke. Goes along with what we're talking about, purity. Look at verse 2 and 3 in chapter 2. He says, "For if I cause you sorrow, who then makes me glad but the one whom I've made sorrowful? This is the very thing I wrote to you." Now remember, severe letter from a broken heart confronting sin. "This is the very thing that I wrote to you, so that when I came I would not have sorrow from those who ought to make me rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy would be the joy of you all." Did you hear what he said? "I wrote to you that I didn't want to come again before you repented, before you turned from your sin, before God worked in your life, because I want to rejoice." Verse 1. And for my own sake, I did not come, and now, because I would have come in a pure heart. That's what he's saying in 2:1. He's dealing with his own impurity. "But I determined for my own sake that I would not come to you in sorrow again, because I would not come with a pure heart, and I would be coming to just get over my sorrow, and can you straighten up so I'm not sorrowful anymore?" And so he had to deal with his own heart, his own purity. That's a person of integrity, but always helping others with their purity. That's what he's saying. He says, "My confidence is in this, in that God will work, and my joy over your repentance will be the joy of you all in your repentance, and God will work in all of our purity. Being pure in our actions to help others in the purity of their life, their walk with the Lord, is a big part of integrity." Look at Ephesians 5 with me. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. Remember, Paul wrote this to the church at Ephesus, and it was distributed out, and it's a great passage on marriage, and it's a great passage on husbands and wives working out things in their life and how we're to have a relationship. But I want you to see something in here and what we're talking about in having a pure heart when you're helping somebody else in their life, in their walk with the Lord, that it wasn't about what you wanted or wanted about what you wanted to get out of it, or about, you know what, can you just quit being a problem so I'm not upset about it anymore. Whatever that might be, we got to come with a pure heart with somebody coming to work with them, and they're following God and finding the purity of God. Now listen to what Paul wrote in Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. We're real familiar with this. He says, "Husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless." Now you understand he's talking about purity, right? He's talking about a bride being pure, that he's talking about the purity of your bride, her not having sin in her life, and helping her with that and walking her with that and that. Just like Christ loved the church. Did you hear what he said? He said this, "Like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might live a pure, holy life," right? Husbands, you're to love your wives so they live a pure life. How do you do that? Give yourself up. That's what he said right in the text. He gave himself up. It can't be about you. Just write that right in the text. If you're going to help anybody with their stuff in their life and help them, Paul is saying, I'm helping you. I didn't come. I'm helping you with writing the severe letter, confronting your sin, and wanting God to work in that, to work together for your joy. If you're going to do that in anybody's life and help your spouse, and if you're going to help your children, if you're going to help your friends or the body of Christ, anything like that, it can't be about you. Or it's not pure. Well, I need help in my life. How about you? And Paul says, I gotta be sensitive, because if it's about purity, I can't have any impurity in my motives or in my actions or in my heart when I come and work with another brother or sister in the Lord. And that's what he's saying. And I want to rejoice with you. I don't want to come in an impure heart and just fix the problem so I don't have any more sorrow. How much rejoicing really is in that? This is an important part of integrity. And this is what he's talking about. Just like in Ephesians 5:25 through what? Parents, let me ask you, parents. It can't be about what you want. You're going to come to your children and minister to them about their purity. You have to come with a pure motive. I got to come with a pure motive as a husband, as a friend in the Lord, as a pastor. I have to have God be sensitive. I have to be sensitive to God, him to show me my own heart. Because I want to be the person of integrity that God wants me to be. It's a brushstroke of integrity. Last one. Listen to Paul's word, verse chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, back with me to 2 Corinthians. I have to get a new Bible. I've just tore the bottom of this one all the heck. It won't even turn anymore. But I'm so fond of this one. Verse 4, listen to what he says, last one. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not so that you would be made sorrowful, but that you might know the love which I have especially toward you, or especially for you. So you understand the last point of a brushstroke of integrity is love. You know, we started this. This is the second week. I've been reading this for quite a while. I haven't been able to get past this verse, and I don't know if it's going to be a long time before I will. I want you to just hear it again. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not so that you would be made sorrowful, but that you might know the love which I especially for you. Paul said, out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I told you the truth. And I didn't want to cause you sorrow. I didn't want to grieve you. But what I wanted you to see and know and understand was my love for you. Christ's love for you. Now again, I mentioned it earlier, how many of us have loved ones, people in our life that bring anguish of heart, and when you talk to them and you minister to them and you share the gospel with them, or you share the truth of God, or you share with what you see in their life, or you share and confront their sin, what do you want them to see? Do you want them grieving? Or do you want them to see the love of Christ? Person of integrity sees the love of Christ. Now God will work in their heart and bring godly sorrow. God will work. I'm not lording it over their faith. I'm the one. I can't make them be broken over their sin. Either can you. You're responsible if they see Christ's love. That's what you're responsible for. And they might not even see it, and it may be what you're living for, because it's not even to determine on what they see, because I don't know their heart and what they're looking at. But in my own heart, I can know that I represent the love of Christ. What Paul is saying, in the most trying of circumstances, afflictions all around, conflicts within my own heart and fears within my own heart, pressures abounding, I want them to see the love of Christ in that I'm confronting them in their struggle. I want them to see the love of Christ. They may grieve. Paul said, I wrote to you, I spoke to you, not to cause you grief, but that you would see love. I can't get over that. Remember the story of the rich young ruler? He came to Christ and said, you know, I've kept all the commandments, you know, the whole interaction that went on there. In Mark 10, it says that Jesus loved him. And he came and he talked to Christ, and I've kept all the commandments. What should I do? What should, you know, how do I get eternal life? And here's what the one that loved him, trying to show him the love of Christ, responding to him when he asked that, this is what he said. Go sell all your possessions, give to the poor, for then you'll have treasures in heaven. Come, follow me. And the rich young ruler walked away grieving, same word of sorrow as what we're looking in our text. He didn't see the love of Christ in what Christ told him. He was grieved, and all Christ wanted him to see was his love. God will take care of godly sorrow. We'll get in that chapter 7. God will take that, breaking someone's heart, bringing godly sorrow in their life, bringing repentance and all that. But it begins by them seeing the true love of the Lord Jesus Christ displayed to them, showing them their need of the love of Christ, that we can repent, that we can turn, that we can embrace all of that. Love, that's integrity. What a picture, huh? What a great portrait that he's painted here for us to see. Loyal to Christ, to his word and his church, honest in the words of commitment in that, reliable to follow through, authentic with the calling of God to live for what God has joined together, sensitive to God and his leading, seeking purity in my own life and the lives of others, loving as Christ has loved me. Wow. That's godly integrity. That's the picture Paul is painting. That's the picture we want all in our life, isn't it? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the simple message of your word, for the testimony of Paul as he's lived out this. He lived this out in his life. To be have a testimony to being loyal to Christ and his word and to the family of God. To being a person that is honest with his commitments. You know, it just struck me in my heart. Paul was never perfect in that. Only Christ was perfect in that. Paul was repentant when he wasn't, was clear when he wasn't, let people know that God was leading him in another way. His testimony also was that he repented of sin and turned and followed the Lord and trusted in him to guide his life, but he was reliable. He saw the authenticity of what God has done in the church and Christianity and bring us together and was sensitive to the Lord's leading and sensitive to his own heart where it was off and seeking the purity in his own life and his actions and his attitudes and his motives even and asking the Lord to show him so he could help others with their purity where we're living our lives in the right manner, wanting to be loving, not to just want to be fixing. Paul could say, as I follow Christ, as an example, follow me. That's us also, Lord. Each one of us falls short in the area that you're speaking to us in our lives, and it isn't about that we fall short. It's about what you're doing and working in our lives, bringing integrity to our testimony, bringing integrity to our walk with you, bringing integrity in our commitments, bringing integrity in our words, in our reliability. Help us grow. That's what I come to say to before you today, Lord. Help us embrace what you're doing in our life, what you desire to do. Help us to be people of godly integrity and grow in that. I'm thankful for this day that you've given us to gather and to worship you and to praise you with songs and to be encouraged by the ministry in our missions, to be together, unified really in what you've called us to be. For your glory, we all say amen. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're dismissed for today.